Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
After being 2 weeks away for a flu, this week Health Minister Andrew Little I asked him about the budget's health spending, recent cyber attacks at the Waikato District Health Board, and a review of the Intelligence and Security Act being brought forward. Here's the minister. So I want to start things off by talking about the budget last week. So out of the $4.8 billion that's in health spending, only an extra $200 million are given to Pharmac over the next 4 years. Is that enough?
Look, some will say that it's never enough for Pharmac. We've increased Pharmac funding by 25% just in the last 3 years alone. This is additional to that. Compare that to the last 3 years of the previous government, and it was, I think, under 7% over the three-year period. So I'm confident we're doing what we can to increase Pharmac's available kitty to spend on pharmaceuticals. But, you know, we've got to weigh that across other health spending. We have major challenges elsewhere in the health system, the rest of the health system trying to keep up with their cost pressures. We've got to think about adding personnel, adding more nurses, more clinical staff, their pay increases and everything that goes with that. And then we have to trade off everything else in health with everything else across the government. We want to give a boost to beneficiaries and those on low incomes, which we've done. There are always going to be trade-offs and swings and roundabouts. I'm pleased with where we've got to, but of course we know that future budgets will mean that we've got other opportunities to continue to increase Pharmac funding.
Right, but Pharmac themselves say they need more than $400 million alone just to catch up on the waiting list they have, but this funding is less than half. So how is the agency going to cope?
I'm not sure Pharmac has said that. I think there was they have a list of pharmaceuticals that they said it would be desirable to have, and that was costed out at the kind of off-the-shelf cost price. Pharmac doesn't pay off-the-shelf prices for its pharmaceuticals. The whole reason for Pharmac is that it negotiates with the big pharmaceutical companies to get the best price for New Zealand, and we want them to continue to do that. There's always commercial confidentiality around there. What we don't want is for politicians who can be susceptible to pharmaceutical companies themselves to be involved in those negotiations. The whole reason for Pharmac is that it stands at arm's length from politicians, people who are subject to kind of political pressures, and it is the decisions of their various clinical experts who make the decisions about efficacy of particular treatments and the appropriate cost and so on for that, and they negotiate with the pharmaceutical company. So, look, they are pleased with an additional $200 million over the next 4 years. That was our manifesto commitment in last year's general election, and we've got there.
Speaking of the election last year, Labour also promised to fund $176 million on emergency dental grants, but nothing was given to oral health at this budget. Why is that?
Yeah, that related to a payment that MSD administers to assist people to get emergency oral health care. The priority in this budget was given to lifting main benefits, and so significant investment in that. The promise made in last year's election was during the term of this Parliament. We've had one out of three budgets for this Parliament, so let's just wait and see what happens in the next two budgets, but we're committed to fulfilling that promise.
So you cannot commit anything right now?
Well, what I can say is I'm determined that we fulfil the commitment that was made, but this is one out of three budgets. We have two more to go, and I'm confident that that we will see something in the next budgets.
Okay. Moving on to the probably biggest story that's happening this week, cyber attack at the Waikato DHB. Now, yesterday you had a meeting with the Officials Committee for Domestic and External Security Coordination, or OTSEC?
ODESC.
You met them. They had a meeting yesterday afternoon. Do you have any updates on that?
Oh, I didn't meet with them myself. It is officials. The purpose of it was just to make sure, given not only that we now realise that it is going to take much longer than a week to fix the system that has been brought down, but also we now know that patient data has been exfiltrated from the system and has now been circulated, to media, so patient interests have been compromised. That raises the risk profile. It was important that ODESC met to make sure that both the DHB and the Ministry of Health have got all the resources and the support they need to support patients, support the staff, and do the work of bringing the systems back online. So the upshot of that meeting was that they were satisfied that those arrangements were in place, that it was being managed with the appropriate level of crisis management, and it is being, and it's now just a question of doing the work of recovering the systems. Once that is done, then of course there will have to be a review, and the questions asked about how does this happen, what was in place before the attack took place, were all the maintenance requirements met, you know, in the period leading up to it, all those sorts of things, and of course, you know, we need to have that so we understand what happened in this case.
Okay, I'll go back to patients' privacy later back on, but so far, does the GCSB know who's behind the attack yet?
No, and I'm told that could be some weeks away. These investigations tend to take a while. The nature of these sorts of attacks are that the malign actors who do it operate in an increasingly sophisticated way, so they're very good at covering their tracks. And our agencies, you know, they're in touch with agencies worldwide to help track down what the source of this attack was, but that work is underway.
But has the government received a ransom note from the attackers or anything?
Well, the government itself hasn't. I'm not quite sure what communications the DHB has had. It is a ransomware attack, and that's been pretty clear. I'm not quite sure what has been asked, but in any event, we know that, A, obviously the system has been brought down, so it's a very serious attack. It's brought down all the systems, the IT systems for the DHB, and we know that patient data has been stolen from the system and has been circulated. So that makes it very serious. We do have a policy, any government or public agency, we do not pay ransoms, and we're not going to.
Okay, but there have been a round of IT issues at the Waikato DHB itself in the past couple of years, from 2013, and in fact its Information Services Director warned of this exact scenario back in 2017. So is the Ministry of Health or the GCSB not aware of these loopholes within the DHB's IT infrastructure?
Well, the GSB's job is not to be, you know, doing the IT management for every public entity. It just doesn't do that. It's an investigation and intelligence agency. In terms of the systems, I think the reason why we want a review, and there will be a review once the systems are recovered, is precisely to ask the question, what did you know? What were you forewarned? What steps did you take in terms of managing and maintaining your IT system that could have added resilience or even prevented this from happening? We need answers to that question. I do say, however, to put that in context, cyber attacks are a reality of modern day life, and the bigger the organisation, the more prone you are to attack. The question is, you know, what steps are organisations taking to protect themselves against that, and even if they are subject to an attack, what steps do they take to mitigate the harm that might be caused? We need to know what it is that the DHB and or the Ministry did or has done, whether it's since last year, since 2018, 2017, whenever, that might have mitigated the harm caused by this attack. I should point out, one of the other features of last week's budget in the health section was an additional $300 million to address some of the long-standing IT issues in our health sector generally. That is to do some upgrades, provide better protection, but also just getting the disparate systems that are in place at the moment talking to each other in a way that they don't do at the moment.
But are you confident that the other DHB's IT systems as well as other state entities are secure?
Yeah, well, I sought an assurance through the Ministry of Health to that effect. I got the assurance by yesterday afternoon that of the remaining 19 DHBs, all of them have checked their systems. They are satisfied that they have a level of protection and resilience that means that, you know, they wouldn't be as vulnerable as appears to have happened at Waikato DHB. We are still waiting for some primary health organisations, PHOs, to provide the same assurance. Of the 30 PHOs, 17 have provided that assurance, and the others will be chased up today.
Do you know how many patients' data have been stolen?
No, I don't. I do know that patient data that had been circulated to New Zealand media this week has been provided to the DHB, so they will know which specific patients have had their data disclosed, and it'll be for the DHB to contact those people to let them know.
How many outpatients, though, have been affected in this attack?
Not quite sure how many outpatients. I mean, they are dealing with outpatients. They you know, the hospital has an occupancy level of about 85%, which is about right for this time of the year, so the inpatient services are operating. We know that some cancer patients, particularly radiology patients, are having to get their treatment in other hospitals in New Zealand. I know there was talk yesterday about some patients having to go to Australia. We are doing everything we can to prevent that from happening. If that happens, it will be very much a last resort. We want people to get their treatment as close as possible to where they live. The Cancer Control Agency is up at the Waikato DHB today, precisely to provide that sort of leadership and make sure that there's good planning and management of those patient needs.
Does that include diverting the patients to other DHBs for treatment?
Yes, I mean, that has been happening to some degree anyway since last week. But the Cancer Control Agency is across, you know, what available capacity there is in other New Zealand hospitals, so that people aren't having to go so far from Waikato if they can't get their treatment at Waikato DHB. So we're just doing the best we can to make to minimise the inconvenience to those patients.
Okay. Finally, very quickly, on the intelligence review, security and intelligence review that you brought up earlier. So what is this about?
So there is a review required, a statutory review, already written into the current legislation that was scheduled to take place at the end of next year. The Royal Commission of Inquiry into the mosque attacks had recommended that that review take place earlier to take account of some of the recommendations in that inquiry report. So we have brought that forward. In order to do that, we have to amend the legislation. So we have a bill that has just been introduced to the House. That all it simply does is change the date by which that review has to take place, so it brings it forward to 2021 as opposed to 2022. So the change is not you know, hugely not a big deal, but the fact that the review has to be conducted, we now have to set that up and get independent reviewers in place to look at the way the current legislation has been operating, whether or not the powers are enough or go too far, and then take account of anything that the Royal Commission of Inquiry said.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.